Have you read 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians together? Anybody? Oh, it's okay. How about the 2 Corinthians? Anybody complete finished reading the 2 Corinthians? It's a short, yeah, it's not that long. But after read 2 Corinthians, how do you feel? Can you get the sense? One of the illogical book written by the Apostle Paul is the 2 Corinthians. When you read a book of Romans, and when you read a book of Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, whatever you choose out of it, you read it, you can sense right away, because he's very logical, and he focuses what he explained, and one by one, very logically he explained. But 2 Corinthians is a little different. 2 Corinthians is full of expresses a feeling and his emotions. So sometimes up and sometimes down, and sometimes calm, sometimes so dramatically, you know, bring up his anger. He seems close to anger and express some of the member in Corinthians or as a whole church also. So 2 Corinthians, it's one of the illogical, we can say illogical books, but we can understand Apostle Paul's frustrations and his ministry and his faith. So such kind of things we can learn from the 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, the author is Apostle Paul. Nobody against it. So authorship is clear. So when you look at the chapter 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. So here is Apostle Paul. So writer is Apostle Paul. Place of writing, some scholars say Ephesus. Some says Macedonia, so I don't know. But if you have a reference book, you can further study that. You can find out. But it's not a big deal, place of writing. So I just let it. What my material here is, this is just let you know as a reference. So place of writing is, it can be Macedonia or can be Ephesus. Time of writing, possibly from AD 55 to 57, around the period of time. And according to the chapter 8, you can tell that when Apostle Paul sent Titus and brought this book to let him hand on to the church in Corinth. So the messenger is Titus. The background of the epistle, the church in Corinth is begin in AD 52, during the time of his Apostle Paul's second missionary trip. So he stayed there for 2 years. He preached the gospel. So at that time, actually, he was very tiresome spiritually and physically, I think. If you look at the Bible, Acts chapter 18, you can tell. When he preached the gospel to Aden is the place, and he actually failed there, and then he moved to the Corinth. And then at that time, I think he experienced a failing. Him to be quite discouraged, you know, personally, and his faith quite difficulties, and also, but at that time the God showing up to encourage him. Still, there is many people here, my chosen people here. So you continue your journey to your missionary work here. So he continued to do there for 1.5 year to preach the gospel and establish this church. As you can see in the First Corinthians, after established, this church had many problems. People, they receive a lot of gifts from God, but at the same time, they are very, they cannot be harmonized with each other. So they cannot be united with each other. Even though there's a lot of gifts they receive, but they cannot use these all the gifts for the glorified God, to preaching the gospel for church. So, and also in the church, there's many problems. Like a homosexual, immorality, sexual immorality, and kind of those kind of the problems. And also there's a pride, and they have a division in the church. All these matters in the church. So when as Apostle Paul sent a letter to instruct them and rebuke them, and also to guide them, the church to be sanctify, which is to cleanse the church, make the church to cleanse. That's the First Corinthians. So First Corinthians, it's more focused on the issue, one by one, and target by target. So very clear, each target, how you can handle it. And so they have a division, how you can handle to solve the problems. Because of your pride. So you can go back to Jesus Christ. So you can... I myself only know the cross of Jesus Christ. Same way you can go back then. What you receive from God, it's not came from you. So nothing can be boast about yourself to showing up to others, to make a divisions. Everything what you have is received from God. So explain to them the one by one. So let them understand, repent, and come back to the original way, which is the truth. After this, I think, after sending this letter, later on, many of them, I think, should repent. So this First Corinthians is very strong. Tone is very strong and very straightforward. So when I look at the Second Corinthians, let's look at the Second Corinthians chapter 8. chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 6 and 7. But God, who comforted the depressed, comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not only by his coming, but also by the comfort with which he was comforted in you, as he reported to us your longing, your mourning, your zeal for me, so that I rejoice even more. I think that when they send a letter and the people repent, so when he heard the news from Titus, and he kind of rejoiced, because now the people, they repent, come back to the Lord, to the truth. When you look at the second page that... outline of this book. There's many different kind of outlines. So, but this one I choose. This is quite clear. So I choose this outline. Many scholar mentioned that Second Corinthians, it's six different letters combined together, compiled together. To be one, because many of the portions connection, it doesn't make sense. So that the letter itself is not as a whole letter, but there's some different letter it combined together. So some says the six different letters, but we do not know. But one thing we can tell, these Second Corinthians express a lot of his personal view of the Apostle Paul and his feeling. So here the outline is 1, 2, 3, Roman numeral 3. So three different sections here. in this outline mentioned it. First outline, the number one, the Roman numeral one is Paul explained his ministry of reconciliations. When you look at the Israelites, the way to instruct to the children, usually father take the what do you call it? It's rebuking and chastising by father, and then mother is to comfort, encourage the children. That's how the Hebrew ways to instruct, to guide the children. This book also, 1 Corinthians, is more like the rebuke and also to reproach, I think. Yeah. And also 2 Corinthians is more like a comforting and to encouraging. But at the same time, there's a full of, still there is some people against Apostle Paul. So here, in even in the 2 Corinthians, he continually he himself to explain about the apostleship, yeah. Outline here, Paul explained his ministry of reconciliations. A, he defend his integrity, and B, he described his apostolic ministry. We can go through after we study chapter by chapter. We can further explain all this these stories. But here, when you look at the story, if you have a time, you can go one by one, look at it open, can see little by little, so you can see the whole view. That helps you a lot to later on to study the book, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1 to 11, here the salutation and thanksgiving. And here at the beginning, Apostle Paul mentioned about his suffering. But at the same time, he mentioned about comfort. So even though he has a lot of suffering in his ministry, he faced such kind of a lot of. Which chapter explain about his suffering? Do you know? He line up his sufferings that he has gone through. It's in the 2 Corinthians. Chapter 6. If you look at the chapter 11, the later portions, he explained what kind of suffering he suffered. And he lists on this. Amazing thing, he remember everything. So verse 25, for example, like chapter 11, three times I was beaten with a rod, and verse 24 is five times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. So you can tell here that he keep counting that because such a suffering is intense. So cannot forget on this suffering. So he explained what kind of suffering he went through. But at the same time, there's a comfort, you know, the encouragement, God's encouragement is there. So he can continue on his ministry, make it successfully, to make it finish his journey. As you know that in the chapter 1 explained, because he changed the schedule to visit Corinth. According to the original schedule, he's supposed to visit from Ephesians and Corinthians, Ephesians and Corinth and Macedonia and Corinth. That's his schedule to make his way journey. If you look at the 1 Corinthians chapter 16, he explained his journey. That was original his intention. But he changed the schedule. So here, chapter 1, verses 12 to 20, to explain why he changed this schedule. But I think some of the church member in Corinthians, they complain about it because he changed the schedules. So then we cannot trust him, you know, kind of way. But he explained here, he changed the schedule. It's not because he treat them a little as nothing, but actually he treat them with a full of love, care them a lot. But most important thing is God's will and God's way. So he followed God's way to change the schedule. And also he delaying the visitations to the Corinth is because of love. Because let them to be have more time to repent. So that when he go back to the visit Corinth, so let them to be more joy to when he meet him. He doesn't have to meet them with a fear, meet them with anger and other uncomfortable feelings. So that's the come out of the love. And also chapter 2, verse 5 to 11 here, he further explains, those people enough to receive like a harsh way to the punishments. So if they repent, and you can accept, which is you can forgive them, to accept them. So they do not let the Satan to make a halt to come to you. So that he explained here. And the B here that described his apostolic ministry, his success his ministry, because he has a what is that? Because I started with the Koreans, so I have to go back to English. A fragrance of Christ, so within him, so. The fragrance, we can further explain later on when we study. It is a wonderful story, actually. We can get a lot of inspirations out of there. And when he preached the gospel, it's not written in the stone, but in your heart, he explained it. So the accredited chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Here's a glorious chapter 3, verse 4 to 11. Chapter 3, verse 4 to 18. You know that the Moses is very, his work is very precious work. He's taking the leadership, and he lead Israelites from Israel to land of Canaan. This is a very precious work. But he further explained that under the grace of Jesus Christ, when his work is more precious than the Moses' work, actually he explained of that. So that's a apostleship he explained. Honest, he explained, he doing this ministry and he never disguised anything, but with a full of honest, I preach the gospel and approach to you. And chapter 4, verse 7 to 18 is a suffering. This is talking about the treasure in an earthen vessel. This is a wonderful inspiration also in this part. When we study, we can discuss about this. Chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. Here they explain about his wish and his hope. You know that this world, everything is a temporary things, and the life also. But he willing to come to the Lord, which is go to the Lord, have an eternal joy. That was his hope. So he explained this here, chapter 5, verse 1 to 10. And chapter 5, verse 11 to 17 is new creatures. When we within the Lord, within the Christ, then we are the new creatures. These inspirations, this understanding, also another precious understanding and the truth. When we have a When we become a creator, new creation within us, then our outer body getting weaker and deteriorate our health later on. When we getting aged 50, 60, 70, and then we have to prepare for our death because no more strength. I think 20s around, 20, 30s, I think 20 is the best age. You can spend overnight, but still next day you can do whatever you like to do. And I think you're the best age. I cannot do that. And sometimes I thought I can, but once you stay overnight, and next day it's just gone. I can't. Since I joined this training, I haven't exercised, so it's I can tell the body can deteriorate. I want to go back to gym to exercise. Indeed, when I joined the training, 1995 or 6, I joined the training, and then till now, somehow. But before I was in college, I joined the holiday spa, and I enjoyed the Reebok step and aerobics. I like that kind of, it was, at that time when I joined there, it was strange because I was, not many men joined there. Have you noticed that? But I just opened the door, and it's all the girls, I like to join. Oh, at the beginning, I followed them about 10 minutes. I cannot follow after that. Brother, if you have a time, you can try. 10, 15 minutes, they work very hard. I realized a woman so strong at that time. I admire her. Anyway, now, but the healthy body gives a great benefit, actually. So you are now around 20, before 30. And this is a time that you can, dedicate your time for the Lord, spend more time to pray, and spend more time to God, and to prepare yourself for the later on. That helps you a lot later on, because it becomes your asset to preach the gospel and do anything for the world, for God. Oh, the chapter 5, verse 18 to 21 here, we can discuss about later on, these ones. You just think about it, little things there, but we can discuss further deep into it there. Chapter 5, verse 18, 20 and 21. Here it says, verse 20 say, we are ambassador for Christ, and God give us a task. God give us a mission as a reconciliation, and as ambassador, which is to become peacemakers. This is our job. So we can discuss about this one. It has a great truth. It has a great inspiration. If I say this, and what is it? But we can discuss later. And chapter 6, verse 1 to 10, here mentioned the approved. And so verse 9 and 10, for example, an unknown yet well known, as a dying yet behold, we live, verse 9 and 10, chapter 6, as punished yet not put to death, as a sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as a poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing all things. You can just think about it. You don't have to. You don't have to think deeply, but just you can think about this. So we can talk about this later. Roman numeral says he makes his appeal to him to open their heart, this chapter 6, verse 11 to 13. I think it's when Apostle Paul when he sent the first letter of the First Corinthians, I think his letter is a little harsh. So they feel, but actually it's not harsh because they want to, the purpose from the Apostle Paul is with the full of love to correct them, to make them, to change them so that they can purify them, that they sanctify the church, so they glorify God. That is the purpose. So originally the intention of the Apostle Paul to send the first letter to Corinth is for with the full of love actually. But people, they do not understand this way. So when somebody know you about your wrongdoing and come approach to you with the love and then tells you what is wrong, you have to change, then maybe you feel uncomfortable maybe a little bit. But if you have opened yourself, if you understand that person's intentions, with the full of love come approach to you, help you, then you can appreciate it. So I think here the member in Corinth, they do not have that kind of open heart. So they cannot take what the apostles, this intention of true love. So they close them down. So now here, Apostle Paul asks them, please open yourself. Please open your heart to accept me. Yeah, he explained this way. Verse 14 to chapter 7, verse 1, separation. Separation is talking about we are the chosen race. You and I were the chosen race. That we have to separate from word. This is a very important matter, important issue, especially the 21st century also. Because now, as we live in an open society, and we have many, all kinds of filthy, philosophy, and all kinds of different kind of view of the world we have in our side. But as a Christians, the Bible is the source of our standard of our life. We cannot take anything beside the Bible. Even though it's 2,000 years old and 3,000 years old, Bible truth cannot be changed. We cannot compromise with the Word. Of course, because we live in a society, many things, yeah, this is maybe permissible. Maybe this is maybe okay. I don't think so. Christian's life is one way. There's no anything we can compromise with the Word. You know, the 99% is truth. 1% is wrong. Then the whole thing is wrong. You know, the living, the concept of the Passover gives us an idea. When the time of a Passover, when God instructs the people of Israel, what God asks them to do is clear out all the unleavened out of your house. All the unleavened out of your house. This is a concept of Christianity. We have to cleanse ourselves. And then when they prepare, cleanse themselves, when they kill the lamb, for shed the blood, and put the doorpost, and the angel, the Passover. But this is what we're talking about, the salvation. We save by the grace of God. At the same time, our life, we are belong to Christ. We are bought, we are purchased by His blood. And from now, we no longer we ourselves, our own. We belong to Christ. That we are the holy temple within us. This is our right, at the same time, our privilege, also our duty to cleanse ourselves. So we cannot compromise with the sins. This is, we have to clear about it. So that's I think it's part of the teaching here in chapter six, verse 14 to 7:1. The last portion is after we go through this and then we go to the next sections. Let's go to the chapter 1. Oh, I'm sorry, because another one is a topic that we can discuss in class. It's after we study chapter 1 and chapter 2, chapter 3, you can look it up here. You can think about it. And attitude of saints under the trial. Because when Apostle, chapter 1, the Apostle Paul, he go through all the difficulties, all the trial and difficulties, and you know, and then he still can comfort by the Lord of God, Lord of Jesus Christ, and still he can preach the gospel. Still he can be encouraged by God, and he can fight for the good fight. And what kind of attitude would Christians have? We think that we can expect. Because we are children of God, because ministry is assigned by God, so our path always, you know, smooth. Everything is blessed by God. Everything is comfortable and, you know, easy goings. But actually not. You know, we can tell the Apostle Paul, he goes through all the difficulties, even he about to die, about to, you know, death. Even he felt that it is a, you know, already kind of what I call it. Death sentence, he felt, because he expected he died there, but God still saved him, his life back, and he let him preach the gospel. And he understood this is the grace of God. And he understood God still encouraged him. Even though this difficulties, and God, his ministry, I mean his work, his mission, still can preach the expand in the word. And he learned that the difficulties and this kind of suffering and trial gives us a great benefit. Gives him a great benefit, actually. He can rely on God only, so that he can move on. Because physically he suffered a lot, but inner himself gained more strength so that he can be more powerful way to preach the gospel. He learned from this so he can be comforted. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. So you can, after we finish each chapter, we go back to think about it. That may be benefit to us. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, I'd like to read. Somebody read for us then, from the brother's side. How many times is the word comfort? Anybody count how many? Eight. It's close. Yeah, it says the 10. Somebody say 10, right? I don't know. Maybe different version. Maybe say different words. I don't know. But my version says 10 times comfort. And so you can see here. Even though his ministry. When he's in preaching the gospel, the many difficulties, you know, he encountered and he penetrated the difficulties. But each time, God comforted him. God encouraged him. So he learned out of it so that he can he have a confidence about God. Even though difficulties, he has a confidence. I can live for God. I can live for the Lord. I can preach the gospel because even there's a persecutions, there's a suffering, but still God can comfort me. God can help me. How we know when in the book of Acts, when he was captured, the Romans, he was, as a prisoner, he was sent to Rome. Do you know the story, right? At that time, a lot of difficulties. Even though he and his people in the ship about to, you know, jeopardize their life. But God denied to come up to encourage him. Don't worry. I holding your life, which is I can save your life. But all other people is panic. But God showed up to him to encourage him. You have to preach the gospel in the Rome too. So he's the only one have a confidence on the ship. But he's the one a prisoner. Rest of them is like soldiers or other people, you know, centurions. They're kind of scared, but he's not the scared, even such a difficulties as a prisoner. Because he knew that God is with him. God encouraged him. This is a true comfort. When we preach the gospel, when we live for the Lord, then sometimes we encounter difficulties. But once we experience the true comfort from God, then each time, each experience, building up our confidence, so that comfort help us to more our foundation is strong. I mean, stronger than before. And this confidence and this experience of comfort from the Lord, we can comfort other people. We can help other people. We can strengthen other people's faith. So here's explain this kind of things. The comfort in the word, the meaning is, what do you call it? Call someone to right next to beside you. That's the meaning of comfort. Bring to the people. In other words, when kids crying, when they fall down and then they cry, and then parents next to them, and then when hold and ask them, come, so the kids stand up and go to the parents, and the parents are holding them. And that's a comfort. That's a meaning of. That's a sense of comfort. So you can understand that way. So but human comfort, it's not easy. Have you ever experienced when somebody passed away, you know, you're one of your brother and sister's family or whatever, you know, close, you, anyone, the one of the member, you know, in the church member or your relatives passed away. And then you attend the funeral service. And then when you say some word, you know, encouragement or word of comfort, what you're saying to them? You know, you don't have to say many words, actually. It bothers them, actually. Do you know that? It's the best way, just holding hands. Showing your love to generate through your hands, convey your hands. Maybe that's enough. Sometimes many words, actually sometimes some. If you choose the word, then actually it's the other way, negative impact. So comforting is not easy, actually. Human comfort sometimes actually bothers. Do you know the case in the Bible? Yeah, Job. You know, Job lost everything. Before he was a rich man. All the 10 children, they all died. And there's no any property at all now. All the property, wiped them out of it. So now no more with him. And his body also now suffer. And then his friends came to him. At the beginning, from the distance, he looked at the Job. And he cried with him for 7 days. And he mourned with him 7 days. And then after 7 days, they don't know what to do. So they start to think about, so still we just come, don't say anything or say something. So they now speak out. What happens? They speak out, and that is a problem. That makes trouble to the Job, actually. They know everything. You know, wow, Job, you're such a situation like this. Maybe because of your sin. Because of maybe your hidden sins. Maybe you commit sins. God is a righteous God. Why God let you happen to you like this? You have to repent. Maybe you have a wicked within you. Repent. Go. Come back to God. And the one, the Job, they listen to their words. It start to bother them. You're worse than the physicians. If you don't know anything, then better not to say anything. You know, if you look at the Job, explain this way to his friends. So comforting, it's not easy, especially the man's comfort. That's that. Sometimes we can experience, you know, when you get married, it seems like a spouse is the one you know that can comfort you. You can expect, you know, wow, my spouse can comfort me. But you can experience. Spouse also have a limitations. Spouse also have a limitation. When my wife have my wife's father passed away, I don't know what to say. Really, I don't know what to say. I have to do something. I don't know what to say. When my wife delivered the first baby, she so suffered at that time because I next to her. I don't know what to say. Really, I don't know what to say. You know what my wife says? And then he looked at me, holding my hand, say something. Say something. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, bear with, you know, I don't know what to say. Sometimes, you know, you don't know what you say. Actually, I'm not my personality is not outgoing. So I have a trouble many times what I have to say, you know. But really, I don't know how to comfort them. And sometimes I also experience when my wife comforts, sometimes, you know, I need a comfort. And when my wife says some things, it doesn't that much sometimes help. Then I be alone myself. And then you know what the best one it is? You kneel down, pray to God. When God gives you true comfort through the prayer, that can makes you the true, you can feel it, the true comfort come to you. Then after you understand the true comfort from the Lord, and then you can listen to other people's, you know, all the comfort. And then you can receive from the peoples. So understanding is the beginning of joy, of comfort. You can, you know, accept the comfort to appreciate it. So where the Apostle Paul here, he is a source of comfort is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Every time when he encounter trouble and difficulties, he know that. How God called him. He was the persecutor of Christians. Even he almost, you know, to persecute the Christian, even to kill, about to kill, you know, the, you know, send them to kill, send them to die. That's an Apostle Paul. But God, Jesus Christ, choose him, distract him through the light, and reveal him to him, and with the full of grace, and choose him to be the vessel of God. How wonderful comfort. He knew that even though such a difficulties, he know that he's a sinner. But he has received the, you know, kind of apostleship, and he preached the gospel, and all this grace, he worthwhile to be death, even way before. We know that he's a sinner among the sinners. How he can be turned out to himself to be the apostle to preach the gospel? Somebody from the righteous point of view, under the law, he already to be cut out of it, but by the grace of God, by the love of God, God chose him, God opened for him. This is a true comfort him. Each time he suffer, but he remember the grace of God that supporting and comfort him. And also he was right next to the, what is it, when the Stephen's his death, he was right next to him. He saw how he died. He's the one holding the cloth, which means now everybody killed him. So he's the one did it. He knew that. He was a sinner. But God chose him. You know, then the book of Acts, how thoroughly described his, you know, the Stephen's death. I'm sure because Apostle Paul looked at him very closely. So explain to the Luke, when he dies, what happened to him. So that's my understanding. How that possible Acts chapter 7 that, you know, written that way. So that's my understanding. But anyway. And that's later on become a great comfort for him. Even he willing to die for Jesus Christ because God saved him. God gave him another chance. That's comfort him. And also all the ministry, God support him behind him. This is true comfort.